good morning and welcome to the Sandusky First United Methodist Church. I must say, however many times I hear that song, I get goosebumps every time. Thank you, Tina. It was lovely. For the announcements this morning, I have I need some players for the softball team. They need players to sign up, and you would contact John Norton. He is heading up the softball team. So I know Carrie is real interested in playing catcher, so we'll see how that goes. You do not have to be good. Karen said, do we have to be good? No. No. That's not one of the requirements. Mostly having fun. That's the requirement. And so we'll move on to, one other announcement. Katie Bader has an announcement she'd like to make.
We are doing the church shirts. We're going to order new church shirts this year. So there's going to be a sign-up sheet in the back if you need to replace yours or you need to order one. You don't have one. It's the same logo we had before. But the more we order, the cheaper it is. So if you have any questions, but we do have talls and up to like 5-6X, so feel free to order what fits you the best. So just let me know. There's the sign-up sheet in the back, and then if you, I'm going to hopefully have new order forms next week, but I'm hoping to have everybody's orders in before the end of July so we can order everything when Pastor gets back. So pass the word if you want to order a church shirt. It goes from little tiny, like, youth sizes all the way up. And if you want a tall, like I said, just make sure the price does go up for, like, different sizes. So it's going to start approximately around $7 and then go up for the bigger sizes. So just let me know. But like I said, I'd like to have everything done and ordered by the end of July so we can print the beginning of August. So thank you. It's the red shirts with the, it's got the little logo on the left chest and then the full back. So, thanks.
Oh, Carrie's changed his mind. Now he wants to be pitcher. Yes, Carrie. Thank you. 9:45. Karen, you want to stand up and turn around so everybody can take a good look at the new teacher? Do we have any birthdays this month, this week? Bruce, when is your birthday? Very patriotic, Bruce. Any others? Well, let's sing happy birthday to Bruce. Oh.
Mine's Wednesday. I'm going to celebrate my retirement on Friday.
Oh, both wonderful. Deb is having a birthday and a retirement, and the party just begins. The celebration. Linda Williamson was on the 5th. She's hiding in the kitchen right now, I believe. And you're on the 2nd, Steve? 2nd. Okay, we've got a lot of birthdays in July. Any others? Well, let's sing happy birthday to everyone.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
Yes. Pastor Sue would say. How about anniversaries? Do we have any July? Oh, we have a hand in the back, Don. Pardon? The second? How many years has your wife been happily married to you? 36 happy, blissful years. Oh, Carrie?
Yes.
What?
Yes, it was Friday.
Friday, okay. And how long has Linda been a happily married woman? That went way too fast. 30? 50. Good. Married when you were 12, right? Yes. Any other anniversaries? Karen?
That was in June. June
30th. 35 years, June. We'll take a June 30th. We'll slip it in. Anybody else? Well, let's sing happy anniversary to all these wonderful couples.
Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary.
One other reminder about the attendance books in the pew, if you would please sign those. And please quiet your minds and prepare our hearts for worship. Our first song will be the Battle Hymn of the Republic, number 717. Please stand.
Is true is my GI.
please join me in the call to worship. Father in heaven, at the baptism of Jesus in the River Jordan, you proclaimed him your beloved Son and anointed him with the Holy Spirit. Grant that all who are baptized into his name may keep the covenant they have made and boldly confess him as Lord and Savior, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns, one God, in glory everlasting. Amen. Please join us in Victory in Jesus, hymn number 370. Thank you. You may be seated. And if the children would like to come up now.
We do have a couple of kids here this morning. And they look so excited. Thanks, Mom. What? Look at them all. We even have a big child here. I have a little message that I had planned, and I have a... Whoops, are you okay? I have a word written on a card, and I was thinking, this might be too big a word for some of these kids, but I think that one might be able to read it. We'll see. Anyway, do you know what this word says? Can you see it? You know what it reads? Is that too big a word for you? Do you know what it says? Do you know what it says? I bet you she knows what it says.
Invisible.
Now let me ask you a question. I've been thinking about this all week. How can the word invisible be visible? What does invisible mean? Does it mean something you can't see? Well, how can you see something you're not supposed to be able to see, huh? That's kind of weird, isn't it? Well, we're going to talk about some with the adults out here today. We're going to talk about how you can see things that you're not, that you really don't see, how invisible things are really kind of visible. And I wondered if anybody here could give me an example of something that's invisible, but yet you know it's there. Does anybody know something? Are you breathing right now? Are you breathing? Are you putting air through? Can you see the air? No, you can't. It's invisible. You're right. And when your mom says, you know what? It's time for you to go to bed. Then she says, I love you. Can you see the love? Not really, but you know it's there because there are some things that are invisible that we know are there and that we can maybe even see. So if you fold your hands with me and pray for me for just a minute, we will say, Lord, thank you for being a part of our lives. Thank you for being, for all the things that you make that we enjoy that are invisible. And thank you for the beautiful day that you have given us today. Amen. And I appreciate you guys being here, okay? You can go back wherever you came from here. All right, thank you.
I had my hand up, but he didn't see me.
Oh, sorry.
I will be reading the scripture from the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 19 through 20. The Lord saw this and rejected them because he was angered by his sons and daughters. I will hide my face from them, he said, and see what their end will be. For they are a perverse generation, children who are unfaithful. They made me jealous by what is a no god and angered me with their worthless idols. I will make them envious by those who are not a people. I will make them angry by a nation that has no understanding. For the fire has been kindled by my wrath, one that burns to the realm of death below. It will devour the earth and its harvests and set afire the foundations of the mountain. May God add his blessings upon the reading of his words. Special music today is Miss Catherine Phillips. Oops, too much.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. Was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. Disgrace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. The Lord has promised good to me. His word, my hope, secures. He will my shield and portion be, as life endures. When we bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we
several weeks ago, and Pastor Sue asked me if I would do a Sunday in July while she's being gone, and we came up with this Sunday. I was a little bit torn because it's Sunday after the 4th of July. We already celebrated the 4th of July, but we are a patriotic bunch of people, and we need to remember that the 4th of July is just not the 4th of July. So we put in some patriotic songs today as a celebration of this congregation and of this church family and the country in which we live so freely. And I also thought, you know, this is kind of hard to get up here, and what I do appreciate in this church is the help you get. I mean, Suzanne, thank you. Catherine, thank you. Tina, thank you. You make it so much easier when you have good help that you can count on to help make the service go as smoothly as it does. So next on our agenda then will be, and next in the program will be, the hymn, America, My Country, 'Tis of Thee, number 697, and please stand as you are able.
Died, land of the pilgrim, from every mountainside let freedom ring. My native country, the land of the
And you may be seated. I ask that you please join me in the spirit of prayer. We thank you, Lord, for this beautiful morning. We thank you for this beautiful day. We thank you for this beautiful country. And we thank you for the beautiful life that you have given us here. We are citizens of the United States of America, one nation, under God. We were given the rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And we have thousands and thousands of people who want to come here and share in the bounty that we have. We pray, Lord, that we not take what we have here for granted. We appreciate the country that we live in. We appreciate the freedoms that we have. And we appreciate that you are the living God here with us. We pray also this morning for Pastor Sue and Jim as they are off on their vacation. We thank you, Lord, for bringing them to us. And we pray, Lord, for a safe journey for them. And we pray that they will find the peace that they need and the comfort that they need while they're off on their journey to visit family and friends. We pray also, Lord, for all those who are listed in our bulletin. There's a bunch of names there, and some of them have been there for months on end. And we pray for these people, Lord, and we pray that they will continue to know that they are part of our church family. Many of them have not been with us for a long time, but they are with us in spirit, and they are with us in being members of the Sandusky First United Methodist Church. And we pray for them and ask your blessing on them. We also pray, Lord, for each other. We pray for peace. We pray for understanding. We pray for compassion for one another. And we know, Lord, that we in this country are united, but we are so divided in so many ways. And we ask, Lord, that we go back to the true origin of our country, and the origin for which it was formed. And we continue to always remember that whatever we ask, that we know that we are asking because we are one nation under God, and we seek you for guidance and strength and comfort in the decisions that we make and in the decisions that our leaders make. We pray all these things together, Lord, and ask that you, everyone, join in the prayer that you taught your disciples so many, many years ago. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our scripture lesson this morning is taken from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who are being protected by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, even now for a little while you have had to suffer various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold, that, though perishable, is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Although you have not seen him, you love him. Even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy. For you are receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your soul. The word of God for the people of God. I tell you, this is a little nervous this morning because this is the first time I've had this harness on. And I have visions of it lying way over there and Tom come running up here to rescue me. So let's hope that doesn't happen. I was thinking, too, this morning while I was knowing that this, you know, sometimes you come to church, you just get to sit there and it's great. Well, that wasn't true of the story this morning. Karen knows that sometimes. And, you know, if you ever want to put a little prayer in your life, agree to do a Sunday morning service in front of your peers. It'll make you do a lot of praying. So what I'd like to talk to you this morning is about getting a little up close and personal. So let me just tell you this. Our God, your God, is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above. He is an awesome God. And I know you know that, but let me also tell you why. Consider this, or if it fits you a little better, reconsider this. We live in a world that is far beyond what any of us could have ever imagined creating. And sometimes when we become lackadaisical in our daily routine, we have a tendency to overlook or take for granted some of the best features of our earthly home. There are countless examples of what I'm talking about throughout this physical world in which we do live. But let me share just a couple of them with you. A few years ago, Bev and I had the opportunity to travel out west with her sister and her husband. This was not their first outing there, and that provided us with this distinct advantage of knowing the places that were the must-sees and how to get to them. One of the places we visited was Old Faithful, the geyser that has been erupting on schedule, around the clock, for who knows how long. Upon arriving, we patiently waited for the next scheduled eruption, and like clockwork, almost exactly at the posted time, hot steam erupted several feet into the air. Impressive. Psalm 104, verse 24 tells us, O Lord, how manifold are your works. In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your possessions. Now, I've got to be honest, and to be sure, this experience paled in comparison to the Grand Canyon, the Badlands, or Yellowstone. Their natural beauty and size are truly unsurpassed. But the beauty and the consistency of God's faithfulness in his creation of the continuous phenomenon is equally unsurpassed. Old Faithful doesn't begin to describe it in terms of its longevity. Truly awesome. And last winter, when I had the honor and privilege of attending the Daytona 500 with Greg and Alex, I had some time to myself when I sat on the balcony of our room and watched the waves of the Atlantic Ocean as they rolled onto the shoreline. As I watched, I discovered that no two waves were the same in size or structure as they finally hit landfall. I noticed there was no pattern to them. Nothing I could see could explain these irregularities to me. But clearly, something, somewhere, had to account for the changes in the appearance of the waves. And then I thought, this has been happening for as long as the ocean has existed, surviving who knows how many hurricanes to continue its steady, uneven pace. Old Faithful came to mind again. And then I came to realize that it is God who is responsible for allowing me to experience and enjoy the mastery of his works in our natural world. Here's why. Psalm 51, verses 10 through 13 reads, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you." In other words, plain and simple, it is my job, and yours as well, as the faithful we profess to be, to spread the word of the gospel. And my God, your God, has created in us countless ways to do just that. So let's take a few minutes this morning to examine a number of the ways that God has provided for us to enjoy the lives he has given us. I think we need to do this before we get up close and personal. Forewarned is forewarned. I know this is nothing new to any of you, but a time of honest reflection is good for all of us. Realizing that there are exceptions to the rule, most of us have been given the ability to use our physical senses. Those we refer to as sight, sound, taste, touch, and smell to make our life's journey more pleasant, more enjoyable. These, in combination with the spiritual gifts God has also made available to us, to get the most off, allow us to get the most from what God has provided and charged us to do. Think about this. Not only did God create for us, for you, this amazing world to enjoy and appreciate it, he also provided us with the means with which to do it. Who here has not, in a really good sense, fallen victim to the beauty and pleasures of our world? We see, hear, taste, touch, and smell them. And sometimes, sadly, we take them for granted. But what we need to do is to take this at least one step farther. Our physical senses are good and beneficial to us. We enjoy them, we appreciate them, and we use them to acknowledge the existence of God in our lives. The glory of the spring trees in full bloom after a long, harsh, cold winter. A chorus of birds waking us up at 5 a.m. so that we too can enjoy the sunrise. Freshly picked, mouth-watering strawberries. The softness of a newborn kitten or a puppy. And a recently mowed field of hay, all provided for us not only by their creator, but ours as well. Proof that God is. Do you know what Jesus did after he fed the 5,000? According to Matthew chapter 14, verse 23, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. Or how about Luke chapter 5, verse 16? So he, meaning Jesus, himself often withdrew to the wilderness and prayed. Or how about this from Romans chapter 1, verses 20 to 21? For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because although they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. What we can discern from this is not only God's divine attributes clearly seen in humanity, but they can be seen in the material universe as well. Nature itself speaks eloquently of its creator. From the intricate designs of the human cell to the majestic strength of the Rocky Mountains, all of God's work testify to his wisdom and to his power. God's invisible attributes, such as his eternal power, can be clearly seen by contemplating his awesome works in all of creation. Did you catch the significance of that last statement? I think it bears repeating. One more time. God's invisible attributes, such as his eternal power, can be clearly seen by contemplating his awesome works in all of creation. In other words, we have the ability to see God not because he is visible, but rather because he is invisible. I find that absolutely mind-boggling, yet simple and positively real. It throws another light onto the idea of using our physical senses to determine what something is, how it is, and why it is. Remember the saying, the proof is in the pudding? Well, maybe, but I think the proof is found in who made the pudding. I've always been the kind of guy who likes to pat himself on the back when a plan comes together. Who doesn't like the feeling of accomplishment, personal achievement? But over the years, a more subtle way of saying growing older, I've come to realize that it's not so much about me or me myself when I accomplish something. I am grateful and thankful to God for allowing me or leading me into the direction my life has gone. This morning is a simple statement, testament to that fact. I am here because of my faith. I am here because God has given me a message that he wants me to share with you. My all-time favorite Bible verse is Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. It reads as follows from the New King James Version. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Invisible evidence. Verse 3 goes on to say, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. One more time, for reinforcement purposes only, we must put our faith not in what we see, but rather in the invisible force that is behind or within what we see. True faith does not lie in our materialistic world. True faith goes beyond all that. Maybe it's time to change the expression, you have to see it to believe it, to you have to see within it or beyond it to believe it. Or perhaps you should become more conscious of putting your faith in what you cannot see at all. Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17 reads, for I, Paul, am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So as I was putting this message together, I found this quote attributed to Thomas Aquinas. To one who has faith, no explanation is necessary. To one without faith, no explanation is possible. With this in mind, let me give you more to think about as you consider your faith. Feel free to agree or disagree with me. Just think about the following. Sometimes, when things don't go according to plan, we lose faith, not only in ourselves, but also in any potential outcome in our lives. Failure makes it easy for us to lose hope and faith. What's the difference? Faith is deep-rooted in the expectation of good things to come. Heaven? It goes beyond hope. While much of hope exists in the mind, faith is steeped in the heart and in the spirit. It can't be explained away by logic or by reason, and nor can God. Faith is the knowledge deep down inside that no matter how bad life is, it will get better. Faith allows us to take the next step, even when we can't see our final destination. Maybe it's invisible. Without faith, we couldn't expect that things would turn out right for us, no matter what the situation might be. Faith, then, is just as important as the air we breathe. While the oxygen in the air nourishes the body, faith nourishes the heart and the soul. It's the energy that runs through every single fiber and cell within our beings. It's part of every muscle and every strand of thought. It's the fundamental foundation of our existence. More important, faith isn't just a notion that we hold on to in tough times. Faith is what helps us get through these tough times. It illuminates and provides a pathway for us in times of darkness. Hypothetically, let me ask you, if you had to give up one or all of your physical senses or your faith, which would you choose? kind of puts everything into perspective, doesn't it? Like in all things in life, we all need to re-examine and re-evaluate where we stand in our faith, that priority we give faith in our lives. Consider the following that I found in some research I did. The focused power of faith breeds abundance. We all know that life is full of curveballs. We can spend a lifetime dodging them, running from them, or being afraid of them. Or we can live with the expectation that we deserve the very best. You do know that God wants the very best for you and from you. This isn't about being selfish or wandering aimlessly through life. This is about the truth, the deep down belief in your heart and in your soul that things will improve and that you do deserve the very best in life. Number two, whatever doesn't kill you makes you stronger. That's kind of a harsh statement. But consider the story told in the Bible in the book of Job. Job strongly believed in God, and he was a man of faith. Job was truly blessed in his life. He had it all. Family, money, land, respect. But through a series of events, he lost everything that he had worked so hard to gather during his life. However, even when his wife told him he should curse God, he didn't. He remained faithful, and eventually God restored and multiplied all of Job's worldly possessions, his family and his health, many times over. Times might be bad, and you might want to throw in the proverbial towel, but you must never lose your faith. A person with no faith is like a stream without water. Eventually, both will cease to exist. Faith helps you discover your purpose in life. It guides you in the direction you need to go. All the explanation you need to understand this is to remember Aaron's talk or a message from a few weeks ago. If you were here, talk about a faith journey. Faith triumphs over stress, anxiety, and fear. Faith allows us to keep the negatives in our lives under control. Think back to situations in the past when you made it through something you thought was insurmountable. You discovered that if you believe and expect that good things will happen, they will. Life's problems aren't solved because you ignore them or you run away from them. It is your faith that conquers your problems and restores your heart and your soul. Galatians chapter 6, 7 through 10 tells us, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For who sows to his spirit, reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for as in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all who are the household of faith." And finally, faith is the pathway to finding solutions. If you really want something in life, deep down inside, faith is what we see you through it. It's at the core of a persistent heart. Once you learn to lean on your faith as often as possible, you will also realize why having that unwavering faith is so important in your life. And when you are up against seemingly insurmountable odds, do what many others have learned to do. Let go and let God. No offense intended, but a quick glimpse through the sanctuary tells me that more than a few of you might remember these words taken from a former popular movie theme song. Born free as the wind blows, as free as the grass grows, born free to follow your heart. And it is your faith that allows you to do that. In fact, Ephesians 2, chapters 8 through 10 tells us, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of ourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." So now is the inevitable time for the burning question of the morning, and truthfully, far beyond this morning. You can choose not to answer it if you don't want to. But I hope you at least think about it, up close and personal, because that is what God is to you. How visible is God's invisibility in you? As Christians, we all worship one God, the same God. That doesn't mean that there are so many of us that you individually can get lost in the crowd. You can't run, you can't hide from God. If anyone has your number, he does. Remember the parables of the lost sheep and the prodigal son? God doesn't love anyone else in this room any more or any less than he loves you. I don't think you can get more up close and personal than that. The next questions obviously become, are you being as personally responsive to God as he is asking you to be? Where is his priority in your life? How satisfied is he with the life you are living? Can he be seen in and through you? I ran across this quote attributed to former President John F. Kennedy as I was preparing for this message. He said, "The best time to repair the roof is when the sun is still shining." Your relationship with God is your business. That's why it's personal. But most of us probably think there's room for improvement in that area of our lives. And wouldn't it be better to amend your relationship with him before it springs another leak or before the next crisis occurs? Just asking. So put these words in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12 at the forefront of your mind. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life from which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Or remember the Abraham-God relationship as recounted in James chapter 2, verses 20 through 22. But you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by his works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You do see then that a man is justified by his works, not by faith only. Is your faith, as shown by your works, visible to God? And don't forget this conversation between Jesus and his disciples after they were not able to drive the demon out of the epileptic boy. Recorded in Matthew chapter 17, verses 19 to 20, then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, "Why could we not cast it out?" So Jesus said to them, "Because of your unbelief. For assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. And nothing will be impossible for you." The works from faith as a mustard seed become highly visible. Jesus covers all the bases, doesn't he? So here we are, once again, almost quitting time. But not really. I say it's just starting time. To develop or to redevelop your own personal relationship with God. What I have learned over my years as a lay speaker and church member is this. Sunday mornings are great, but to maintain an up-close and personal relationship with God, you need to go way beyond Sunday mornings. You do realize that God has an up-close and personal relationship with you 24 days a week, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, right? Anyone here ever called on him other than from 11 to 12 on a Sunday morning? I kind of thought so. So if your relationship with him is in need of repair or rebuilding, or if your roof is not in the condition it should be, why are you waiting? These things aren't going to get better on their own. And you know what? All you need is the faith of a mustard seed. You can come to church every Sunday. Choirs and soloists can sing very well, I might add. Lay speakers can speak, and preachers can preach. Nothing wrong with any of these. They're all good. They're all forms of worship. No offense to anyone, but none of these compares to the words of our risen Lord and Savior. That's why reading the Bible is so important, because when Jesus talks, everyone listens. With this thought in mind, and you already said it this morning, the word of God for the people of God, thanks be to God, I challenge you to listen to Jesus as he speaks in Matthew chapter 6, verses 31 through 34. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Wouldn't it be great if a lot of roofs get repaired this week? Better yet, today, if a lot of relationships get mended, if you personally strengthen your own relationship with God, with all the humility I can muster, let me leave you with the words Jesus said to Thomas in the book of John, chapter 14, verse 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And all God's people said, amen. And would the ushers please come forward?
What difference if I hail from north or south, or from the east or west? My heart is filled with love for all of these. I only know I swell with pride, and deep within my heart I thrill to see a glory paint the breeze. This is my country, land of my birth. This is my country, grandest on earth. I pledge thee my allegiance, America, the bomb. For this is my country, to heaven true. I pledge thee my allegiance, America, to have and to hold.
Lord, we thank you for these gifts, and we thank you to those who gave them, and we ask that they be used to further spreading your word throughout this country and throughout the world. In your name, amen. And our final hymn this morning is number 593, and it says, "Here I am, Lord." So it's a chance for you to start getting more up close and personal with your God. Remind you that there is a potluck downstairs afterwards. Even if you didn't bring anything, I'm sure they'll find something for you if you journey on down. And we ask, Lord, that you bless the food that we're about to eat, and you bless it to our bodies, and we ask that you use it to our service. And we ask, Lord, that you go with us now in peace, that we all go knowing that wherever we go and however we go, we take you with us. In Jesus' name, amen.